Thanks for listening to this week's Wellspring Church Podcast.
All right, well, as I mentioned, Easter was last week, and it was, man, it was fantastic. We really did. We had more people than we've ever had, ever at Wellspring, and that was awesome, and I celebrate that, and I know you celebrate that. But here's what I really celebrate. At last count, at least 62 people changed their mind, and they began following Jesus Christ last week. And before we start the message, I just want to say for those of you who are Wellspringers, you're with us. You realize that's more people than we had attend things, right? Trust me, I was there. I just want to say real quick, if you prayed for Easter, if you prayed for me as we were battling the sickness of all sicknesses last week in our house, the deathly stomach bug, if you prayed for Wellspring, if you invited someone to Wellspring, if you took a chance and you served last week, or maybe you just came early, you came to a service you didn't want to come to because you were afraid one was going to be full, if you gave up your chair, if you sat on the bleachers, whatever, if you played any part in last Sunday, I want to say thank you. And I want you to know that it is because of you that at least 62 people will spend eternity in heaven. And it's because of you. And I thank you for that from the bottom of my heart. I thank you for believing. I mean, I was called to do this. Y'all weren't. But you've caught on and you've jumped in. And, man, I'm so excited. We said, you know, from the beginning, this was going to be a celebration. This was going to be Celebration Sunday. We were going to celebrate what God has done. And God has done some awesome things. We celebrated first hour. And we're going to celebrate again this hour. And what I want to spend our time together talking about is kind of the way we are supposed to celebrate lives being changed. Kind of the step we are supposed to take. You know, maybe many of you have had your lives changed last week, or you've had your lives changed here at Wellspring. I want to talk to you today about what we just saw in the video. I want to talk to you about going public with your faith. I want to talk to you about letting the world know what's happened. What we're going to talk about today is we're going to talk about a subject that is very touchy for some people. I've been in ministry for over 12 years, and there's really never been a subject more touchy and more sensitive and more, well, I don't know about that. I mean, it's crazy. You talk to people about giving, they're like, okay, sign me up. But when you talk about the subject we're going to talk about today, when you talk about baptism, for some reason, it kind of is a touchy subject for some people. It's kind of weird. And I think that's because for some people, it's an emotional subject. There's some baggage there. Maybe you were brought up in a denomination and your baptism was different for you. And, you know, the way we baptize here is, you know, we baptize people who've chosen to follow Christ and we dunk you. And so, you know, you weren't baptized that way. So does your baptism not count? You know, how does it work? I understand that it's a tense issue. I've actually baptized people before with tears in their eyes. They were crying because they've been so scared to do it. And so what I want to do today, I want to try to get rid of all the myths. I want to try to get rid of all the preconceived notions. And I want to help you understand why baptism is a big deal to us here at Wellspring Church. Why we talk about it, why we do it, why as soon as we dismiss today, we're going to baptize. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now, it happened last hour. I believe it's going to happen this hour. Some of you in the room today did not come prepared to be baptized. You're going to be baptized today. And no, I'm not hypnotizing you. It'd be great if I could, wouldn't I? It would make life a lot easier, you know? Listen to the sound of my voice. The sound of my voice on the count of three. No, I'm just kidding. But what I want to do is I want to try to answer the question that I think many people have. What's the big deal with baptism? Why is it a big deal? Why does it matter? Why do we talk about it? Isn't it just some silly thing? What's the big deal? Right? I think you have those questions. I have had those questions before. I actually wrote this message out of a personal conviction of, you know what? Why is it a big deal? I was raised Baptist. It was in our name, so we had to do it. So You know, I assume we did it the right way because on it, Baptist, hello, is what we're called. But as I dug in and as I read, you know, God's word, as I read the teachings we have that he led men to write down that we have 2,000 years later, I discovered some things and I want to share them with you. I want to share with you why, to me, baptism is super important and why I hope if you've chosen to follow Jesus with your life, the next step you should take, the way we celebrate what God's done, is through baptism. So let me explain. And if you're a note taker, man, you are going to love today because I have 4 points. They all start with the same letter. Like, I never do this. But again, I was raised Baptist. It's in my blood. Alliteration just flows every now and again. I can't help it. You know? You're lucky it's not 3 points and an illustration because that's what I was raised on. But it's 4 points today for why I think baptism is a big deal. Point number one is because it was commanded. And really, points 2, 3, and 4 don't matter. I'm going to share them with you, but really number one is all that matters. It was commanded. Jesus, our Savior, the man who gave his life for our sins, commands us, once we follow him with our life, to be baptized. That's kind of the ballgame, but I'm going to give you 3 more reasons. But he commands us to do it. The last thing Jesus says on earth, last thing he says, he dies. They watch him die. Comes back to life on Sunday. He spends 40 more days with his followers preparing them for what's next. He then has them all gathered, and then they watch him ascend into heaven, which was probably the craziest thing they'd ever seen in their life. He's got them all gathered there, and here's what he says. In Matthew 28, I'm going to have a lot of scripture today, so I probably just want to write it down. Matthew 28, 18, he says this. As Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Now, pause. Now, when someone says that, you know what's coming next is kind of a big deal, right? You don't just say that and say, so enjoy your lunch. You say, I have been given all authority on heaven and on earth. I am in charge of everything. It all revolves around me. I control it all. He's establishing his credibility with him one last time because what he's saying is because what I'm going to say next might be the most important thing I've ever said. He says, because I have been given all authority on heaven and on earth, therefore go and make disciples. Go and make followers. Go and tell the world about me, teach them about me, and lead them to follow me. That's what a disciple is. Go and make disciples of all nations, doing what? Baptizing them. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. I am in charge of everything. So go, make disciples, and baptize them. Now, you may not realize it, but that's actually kind of a weird thing for Jesus to say. See, baptism is a ritual. Jesus spent his 3 years on earth basically pushing back against rituals, pushing back against religion. Because, see, the religious people of the day had created a bunch of rituals. And if you did the rituals, it meant God loved you more. And as long as you attended every Sunday, and as long as you played the right part, and as long as you looked right, and you did the right thing, it didn't really matter what was going on in your heart. And Jesus was like, no, you've missed it. It's what comes from within you that matters, not your actions. So this guy who would push back against ritual, last thing he says is, oh, by the way, the most important thing you can do is tell people about me and, oh, do the ritual. What? Say that again, Jesus. Well, I'm floating now, so baptize them! Please! Baptize them. Do the ritual with every single one of them. Now, Jesus was not a guy who was into ritual. He was not a guy who was into those things. So why on earth would it have been so important for him to say, hey, go tell the world about me, lead them to follow me, and make sure you baptize them. Make sure you baptize them. I'm going to tell you why. It's the second C. It's because I believe baptism is a consecrated event. See, I believe baptism is sacred. I believe it is holy. Now, Hear me. Not the act itself, okay? The act itself means nothing. Let me say that again. The act itself means nothing. Let me tell this side too. The act itself means nothing. You don't get special grace. You don't get extra grace. You don't get more Jesus. You don't get less Jesus. The act is a symbol, okay? But see, what it symbolizes is holy. See, I don't know if you know this, but when you become a Christ follower, we are told by this guy named Paul, this guy who followed Jesus, who had experiences in his own life. He was actually a persecutor of the church, had an encounter with Jesus Christ, changed his mind, said, oh, I was wrong, and went on to build the church. This is what Paul writes about what happens when you fall in love with Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun. See, many of you in the room have tasted and seen that God is good in that. You have experienced that. You have discovered that your new life in Christ really means a new life. You've discovered that you actually can start over, that you can break free of some of the things that have held you back, that you can change your ways through Jesus. Because anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new creation. The old is gone. And a new life has begun. That is the gospel. That's the whole thing. That's the big deal. We get to start over. We get to be forgiven and live the life God wants us to live. That's an amazing truth. Now watch this. Watch what Paul says in another letter. He says, for you were buried with Christ when you were baptized. And with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. See, baptism is a symbol of the change that happened in your life. It's the picture of the miracle that happened inside of you. See, when you're baptized, when you go under the water, it symbolizes the old you, the old self, the selfish self, the sinful self, the shameful self, the self that can't get their act together, the self that doesn't think anybody loves them, the self that doesn't think they're worthy of anything. When you're baptized, it's a picture, it's a symbol of that self going away. And when you come back out of the water, it's a picture that just like Jesus Christ himself was raised from the dead, so can your life be resurrected and raised from the dead. And you can start over. And you can start a new life and live the life that God always intended for you to live. And many of you in the room have experienced that. You know that that happened. If you're here today and you don't believe that, my prayer is that you'll keep coming back week after week and you'll keep kicking the tires and you'll keep testing and you'll keep saying, man, can these people really believe what they say they believe? Yes, we do. Can it really change my life? Yes, it can. But back to baptism. It's a consecrated sacred event because of what it represents, because it's a picture of what happened to us when we gave our lives to Jesus. And I know you may say, but again, it's just a picture. It's just a symbol. Why does it matter? Why is it such a big deal? Why would Jesus command it as he's out the door? Well, because we live in a world where symbols matter a great deal. You think symbols don't matter? Let me take this off and put it in my pocket and walk around for a while. We'll see how much my wife thinks this symbol matters. Love you, babe. Actually, I feel very weird without it. I'm putting it back on. Yikes. See, a lot of people describe baptism as a wedding ring. That's how they describe it. Because it's just a symbol. If I take it off, I'm still married. But see, I don't really like that image. I don't like that image. The way I like to compare baptism, and if you've been around Wellspring, you've heard me do this before. To me, baptism, the best picture we have of baptism in our culture is a graduation ceremony. How many of I'm not going to raise your hand. You've been to a graduation ceremony. You've participated in a graduation ceremony. The big ones are usually, you know, high school or college or second grade, apparently, has become a big deal. 4K, 5K, summer school. David, I love you. In my house, high school and college. That's it, Jack. You do not get a first grade graduation party. You just don't. Sorry. All right. Think about graduation, okay? Think about what happens. You attend the event and you dress up and you walk across the stage and you shake hands with you know, your director or the principal or the president of your school, and they hand you a diploma. And what do? You invite all your friends and all your family and they give you presents. It's the best. I've never gotten more presents in my life than when I graduated from high school and college. I was like, can I do that again? And they celebrate, and you walk across that aisle, and even though they're not supposed to, if you have a rowdy family, they clap. Any rowdy families in the house, anybody clap for you at your graduation? Good for you. Amen. Amen. My cousin graduated a while back, and I wasn't there, but there were some rowdy folks in the crowd. And so my aunt went to them and said, hey, my daughter's coming soon. Will you clap for her too? And they did. And it was crazy. And for some of you, graduation was a really big deal. Maybe you were the first in your family to graduate. Maybe you were the first in your family to accomplish that. Maybe it was really hard for you. Maybe something happened and you were really proud of that day. But I just want to tell you, that was just a symbol. It didn't mean anything. You didn't even have to go. Did you know that? You didn't have to. I tried to not go to my college. One of my parents made me go. They were like, you are going. And you know, that diploma they handed you, it doesn't really mean anything. Mine is somewhere under a bed, I believe. I think my wife knows where it is. I don't know. In the, what is it now, 13 years since I graduated from college? You know how many people have asked me for my college diploma? Zero. You know why? Because it doesn't mean anything. It's just a symbol. It's just a picture, right? But of course it means something. Of course it means something. It means a great deal because symbols matter. The event itself didn't change anything, but the symbol it represented changed everything. You accomplished something. Something changed, and graduation was your way of showing the world what had happened in your life. See, that's why baptism is a consecrated event, because it is your opportunity to show the world what's happened in your life. It's your way of showing the world, this matters to me. And here's what happens. Here's the next C. When we go public with our faith, what you find is that baptism is contagious. See, as you share, and my life's been changed, your friends and your family and your neighbors and your coworkers, they begin to realize, man, it really is changing. Like, they've said it before, and we kind of laugh at them. Like, when they bought that gym membership, we all had a running bet. The over-under was 17 days for how many times you'd go. And everyone took the under. If you didn't get that, you don't get gambling, so it's probably a good thing. It meant they didn't think you'd go to the gym very much. But see, when you go public with your faith, then people can begin to see, hey, man, something's different. And you're not saying you're going to be perfect. Of course you're not going to be perfect. Nobody's perfect but Jesus. But you're saying, man, I'm taking a step. My life has changed. I'm no longer leading my own life. I'm going to follow Jesus with my life. And your friends and your family, your neighbors, your coworkers, they see, they notice. And they begin to ask questions like, really, what, man, you just seem, I don't know, more stable than you used to. You just seem more content. Things don't get to you as much. You have a joy about what's going on. I mean, I saw your thing on Facebook. Really? Really? The church thing? That's really working for you? And you can say, yeah, sure is. Would you like to join me? Work for me. It can work for you. See, baptism is contagious, and other people begin to see it, and they begin to ask the questions, and then you get the opportunity to share with them the same truth that you yourself have discovered. So see, baptism is important to us. It's crucial to us. It's something we do because Jesus commanded it. He said, do it. He commanded it because he knew it was a consecrated event. It was a perfect picture, a perfect symbol of what had happened. And it was the best way we have to publicly declare what's happened inside. And he knows anytime we publicly declare what he's doing in our hearts, he is in that, he will move through that, and he will transform the world around you as you do it. So those are three reasons that we baptize, why we think it's such a big deal. Let me give you one more. The last C is kind of a little more nuts and bolts. It's a little how we baptize. And the way we baptize in a manner that is consistent with the New Testament. It's consistent with the way it's been done from the very beginning. What that means is, and again, this is, if you're a guest, this is the most church words I've ever used in a sermon, and I'll never use as many again. But we believe in Wellspring in believers' baptism by immersion. Makes my brain tired just to say it. Believers' baptism by immersion. What that means is we baptize people that have said they believe in Jesus, and we dunk them. That's what it means. Now, why the first part? Why do we make the distinction? Well, because when we read the Bible, we read especially the New Testament, when we read the life of Jesus, when we read Acts, and later on, the movement of the early church and the letters, every single account, let me say it one more time, every single account of a baptism is of someone deciding to change their mind, choosing to follow Jesus with their life, and then being baptized. So that's how we do it. We think you should make that decision and then be baptized. I know some of you, I read your mind, I know where you're going, you're like, I knew it. I was baptized as a baby, and y'all don't think it counts, right? That's what you're thinking. Well, guess what? You know who else was baptized as a baby? Me. I was raised Methodist until I was like 10 years old, and then we became Baptist, and talk about a culture shock. But anyway, I was sprinkled as a baby. And if you were sprinkled as a baby, man, I applaud that. I celebrate it. I don't say it didn't happen. I don't say it didn't mean anything. Here's how we view that at Wellspring, okay? And we do the same thing here. We view that as your parents declaring before God and before their church that they were going to do everything in their power to raise you in a home that would someday point you to God, and you would choose yourself to follow God. We call it baby dedication. We do it every May. We're going to do it this May, and we'll have parents all up here, and they'll cry, and you'll take pictures, and I'll pray over them. And it's just us as a church saying, man, we're going to help you. We're going to design kids' ministries, and we're going to design student ministries, and we're going to design experiences, and we're going to do everything in our power to help you point your child towards Jesus. Okay? And that is a big deal. That is not a light thing. Jesus himself was dedicated. His parents took him to the temple. But then when he became an adult, he was also baptized as a picture for us. And so I hear in your brain, you're saying, so do I have to be rebaptized if I was baptized as a baby? We think you should, yes. We do. Because we believe baptism is something we do as an act of obedience. We do it in response to a changed life. And the other part is I've read the Bible cover to cover multiple times. I actually have a master's degree in Bible. I do. There's not one story. There's not one account. There's not one anything about a baby being baptized. And I know some of you are thinking, yeah, but what about Cornelius and his household? Yeah, it was his household. Nobody said his household with babies. They could have all been 15. We don't know. Why make that assumption? It's abundantly clear Jesus did, and what every baptism we have accounted for in the New Testament. They chose to follow, and then they obeyed, and they were baptized. But we just don't think babies should get rebaptized. Anyone who was baptized without knowing what you were doing, I would encourage you to get baptized now that you know what you're doing. Some denominations, you hit a certain age, you go through some classes, and you get baptized. In the Baptist church, when you got like 8 or 9, you called the preacher. He came to your house. He said some stuff he didn't understand. The next Sunday, you walked down the aisle. Everybody clapped. And then we all sang, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. You know, I mean, that was it. And on Sunday nights, we could clap a little bit when it was done. That was it. So it's not about that. It's not invalidating what happened. It's just saying baptism. It's commanded by God. It's a consecrated event. It's a contagious event. And we should do it in a consistent manner, which means we should do it as an act of obedience. If when you were baptized, you were not obeying Jesus with your life, I would encourage you to do it again, to do it as an act of obedience to him, because that's the way it's done. And last thing, why do we dunk? We dunk because the word, the Greek word is baptizo. It means to dunk. Okay, it's what the Greek word means. It means to fully submerge. Every baptism in the Bible, they fully dunked. The reason they stopped fully dunking is because a lot of places where the early church was, they didn't have a bunch of water. And so they were like, you know what, let's just stop dunking because we don't have a bunch of water. Let's just sprinkle. It's all good. It's good enough, right? We live in Myrtle Beach, tons of water. It's not a big deal. So we're going to dunk you, okay? That's just how we do it. We're going to dunk you because, again, buried with Christ in baptism, risen to life. You know, if you're christening, at best, you're waterboarding. That's all you're doing, right? That is not the picture we want. Do you love Jesus? Yes. Right? It's not what we want. Buried with Christ in baptism, we'd only hold you down there for like 5 seconds. That's all. I'm just kidding. We don't. Down and back up. Down and back up real quick. Real quick, we baptize here at the YMCA. We used to baptize in the ocean. Almost lost one. Only one. You think I'm joking? We got the video evidence. I mean, it was the biggest wave I'd ever seen. The sea was angry that day, my friend. It was something else. Anyway. See, church can be fun, can't it? Even a message on baptism. You can't believe it. So what's the big deal with baptism? What's the big deal? Well, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ thought it so important that the last thing he said to us was, hey, make sure you do this. Make sure you baptize people. And the reason I believe he said that is because baptism is a beautiful picture of what's happened inside your life. And when you go public with what's happened inside your life, it's contagious. And your friends and your family and your neighbors, your coworkers, they notice and they begin to ask questions. And so what we want to do now is we want to give you an opportunity to go public. We want to give you an opportunity to get baptized today. And I know some of your brain, man, you are already running through the excuses to do, man, I can't do this today. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Let me help you out. Okay? I said during the offering, we try to take away all the excuses for obedience. We want obedience to become as easy as possible. So let me help you. Let me go ahead and shoot down some of the objections you already have in your head for why you cannot today be baptized. My family's not here. My friends aren't here. I want to invite them. Well, lucky for you, they've invented this amazing thing. It's called video. Right? Maybe you've heard of it. We're going to video the whole thing. We're going to take pictures, and then you can use this other awesome invention. It's called Facebook, which is, let's be honest, it's the way you communicate with your family anyway. We're just going to help you out. But we're going to have video. We're going to take pictures of everything. You can share it, and you can help make public what's happened in your life. We want to make it easy. We want to help you, man. We want to help you celebrate what's happened. Number two, you're like, man, I got a suit on. I'm looking good today. I'm not dressing like this. You know what? We thought of that. We have everything you need. And you think I'm kidding. Eric's list is like that long of stuff he buys. We got towels. We got shorts. We got t-shirts. We got hair products. We have undergarments. We have everything you need. Because we want to make obedience as easy as possible. And you may be thinking, man, I just don't know. I don't know if I should do this today. Here's the good thing about God. Even though you didn't know what was going to happen today, God knew you were going to be here. And he knew what I was going to talk about because we talk. So he was aware of today. And I believe he wanted you here right now so that you could hear this message and so that you could take this step. And when you do, you can remember, man, you are participating in an act that has been going on for 2,000 years. Jesus himself was baptized. And we get to join in with that. We get to celebrate this event that's commanded, it's consecrated, it's contagious. And we get to do it in a manner that's consistent with the way Jesus himself did it. So my only question to you is, why not? If God has changed your life, and you have never taken the step of baptism in response to that change, I'm going to challenge you in just a moment to step out and get baptized today. And oh, by the way, I know I said baptism is kind of like graduation. Just let me make one thing clear. At Wellspring, we don't wait to the end. We celebrate every single one, all right? It's a party. It's a party here because the Bible tells us it's a party in heaven. Every single time someone chooses to give their life to Christ. So we're going to celebrate. And I pray that you'll take this step today, man. And that's what, one last thing, one last pitch, and then we're done. I just want to help you see one thing. Because I know some of you are thinking about your wrestling. I don't know. But all these buts. But. You got all these buts up in your head. All these reasons why not. Let me help you. If there's any voice inside of you saying you should do this today, that's the voice of God, and he's telling you to do it. And all the excuses are lies, because here's why. Anything telling you to wait is a lie. Because delayed obedience is disobedience. It just is. Delayed obedience is disobedience. We've set the table. We've got everything you need. We're going to film it all for your friends and family. We want to celebrate with you what's happened in your life. We want to help you go public with your faith. Because here's what we believe. We believe the second you go public with your faith, you unlock the doors of heaven. Because when you go public, your friends and family, they see and they notice. And a conversation is opened. And you get to share. And the transformation that happened to you begins to move through you to transform the world around you. And you want to be a part of that. I know you do. I know I do. So I'm going to pray, and when we're done, we're going to sing a song. And I'm going to ask you to stand. And I believe that some of you are going to step out. You're going to make your way to the back. And we're going to celebrate with you today what has happened in your life and in your heart. There is no reason not to. Every excuse is off the table. I want to celebrate with you today what God's done. I want to celebrate how big a deal baptism really is. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much just for who you are. I thank you for how you have blessed us and the way you paid for us and the way you've modeled obedience for us. So, Father, I pray right now for the people in the room who are wrestling, who don't know if they should go public. Should they take this step? Should they do this? Should they step out? They don't know these people. They're a little confused. Father, I pray right now you just give them courage. You give them peace. You let them supernaturally feel you wrap your arms around them and say, yes, I am with you. I am in this. It is time for you to go public with your faith. Father, I just pray right now that we celebrate who you are and all you've done. And it is in your Son's amazing name that we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to this week's Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit us at wellspringchurch.tv.